Hi, everybody, and we are at the 20th video commentary. We're calling it Rule 2.4 because it's the fourth program on the second rule. We're beginning on page 87. We have been dealing with the various hindrances to the impress of the higher energy, and lately with the overcoming of those hindrances through obedience to the next duty, emotional dispassion, and mental synthesis. And our work has been connected with a positive and a negative. The positive energy is the soul, the negative energy is the personality, but it's not negative in the sense of being passive and unmoving. It is rather attentive to the impress of the soul. In these positive and negative vibrations, we have the relation between the male and physical, male and female physical bodies. We call that sex. We have the relation between the astral body and the physical, the relation between the mind and the brain, and finally the relation between the soul and the personality. All of these are related to the overcoming of the hindrances presented by the newness of occultism, by the factor of the concrete mind. Those two especially, and there are other conditions which I have discussed here, but basically two of the hindrances here, the comparative newness of occultism in the Occident and the development of the concrete mind with its disquisitions and its hyperactivity. And then, of course, materialism is one of the other hindrances. The disbelief in the world of abstract and subjective consciousness, the suppression and inhibition of the natural reaching out of the masses towards some more subtle condition than that which with which they are presented, their lack of understanding of the future, because we have such childish presentations of the destiny of humanity. So he tells us that the whole secret of success in treading the occult path depends upon an attitude of mind, and when the attitude is one of concrete materialism, of concentration upon form and a desire for the things of the present moment, little progress can be made in apprehending the higher esoteric truth. There's another hindrance given here, and that is the limitation of the physical body built up in the wrong way through eating of fermented foods, and meat is considered to be a fermenting food. And a statement here which, excuse me, cannot be considered absolute in all cases, because, you know, Alice Bailey with her blood condition was actually put on a meat diet by the Tibetan so that she could get through and finish her work. But he says, for the rest of us and in general, that when fresh fruit and vegetables, clear water, nuts and grains, cooked and uncooked, form the soul diet of the evolving sons of men, then will be built bodies fitted to be vehicles for highly evolved egos which are waiting their time and ready to come in. The overcoming of the hindrances, yes, through obedience, dispassion, and the synthesis of the mind. And I think I already went over this one. The relation between the positive and the negative, you know, appears in various places, and the positive must always dominate, especially in the matter of the vehicles of the man, where we have the astral body in relation to the physical, So at least desire overcomes crude physical instinct. The relation of the mind to the brain, which is two-thirds of the alignment process that we must cultivate of soul, mind, brain, and the relationship of the soul to the personality. So this takes us now to where we are in our ongoing discussion. Now, we're now talking about the relation between the centers below the diaphragm and those above. You know, in general, the centers below, between, below the diaphragm, and let's see, how can I spell that? There it is. Signify the personality and those above the soul. So now we're looking at these relations between the center at the base of the spine and the thousand-petaled lotus, the head center. It astrologically, this can be considered. If I could only type and spell, a relation between Uranus and Pluto, and you can guess which is which, right? Uranus represents the purpose of the head center. So Uranus represents the purpose of the head center, and Pluto the will of the base of spine center. In this, the four petals of the basic center become the many, or the quaternary is lost in the universal, and this is on a higher turn of the spiral. Oh, why not put that one in, right? On a higher turn of the spiral. Okay, on a higher turn of the, since I'm always using it, on a higher turn of the spiral, on a higher turn of the spiral represents the way in which the fourfold man is absorbed into the greater group and into the one. Now, at the first initiation or thereabouts, we have the work of the sacral center in relation to the throat. In this, there comes a union between the 12 creative hierarchies and the quaternary, and the secret of the 16 petals of the throat center is seen. The throat lotus is seen. What is that secret? Well, we know the secret has to do with creativity and the mind. We can say that much. The union between the 12 creative hierarchies, and interestingly enough, some of these creative hierarchies, those are Chohans, right? CRHS, how about that? CRHS. Some of these I had in my previous list, but they were destroyed. Okay, creative hierarchies. So some of these creative hierarchies are even found focused on the cosmic astral plane. And yet, can it be the throat center that is somehow responsible for the union of all these hierarchies, or engineering the vehicle so that they can unite? It's easily said, a union between 12 creative hierarchies, but we have some very high hierarchies, and one wonders how the union can be found. Well, here are some. Okay. Here we go. As you see, they go up to a very high level onto the logoic plane. And if we were to go even farther, let's bring this down to where it, so things can move. We have the following, and they go all the way to the third sublevel of the cosmic astral plane. Really, can we seek the union of all the 12? How is that to be done? Well, we'll have to leave that for the moment, because it would involve a stupendous alignment. Anyway, from the sacral center to the throat, especially at the period of the first initiation and following until the second initiation. Then the solar plexus to the heart, in which the 10 of the perfected man in this solar system is lost in the consummated 12. Well, the perfect man, the solar plexus center has 10 petals, and the heart center has 12. So that's what it means here. And 22 is indeed a sacred number and represents the union of the 10 and the 12. And this is a type of dynamic, let's put it here, a type of dynamic scene in the approach to the second initiation and following. How much longer, we don't know, because the base of the spine center will be the next point of focus, of activation. And it will take 3 initiations before that process is completed at the 5th. Although, you know, when dealing with the Maya Varupa, maybe the head center of the Chohan's Maya Varupa is still more unfolded than that of the master. And the head center of the 7th degree Chohan, though it is a Maya Varupa, still more unfolded. So, in which the 10 of the perfect man, because 10 is the number of perfection, interestingly enough, in this solar system is lost in the consummated 12. We might say that 10 is the number of perfection, more so than 7, and that 12 is the number of consummation. 12 is a Devic number, 10 is a more human number. The 22 represents a union of man and Deva. As the 12 creative hierarchies, in their outer and creative aspect, implying that there is an inner aspect. Are contacted by the man, and well, and when are they? Some of them are of so high a nature that they are cosmic astral in nature. And don't you have to be pretty much an initiate of the 7th degree before cosmic astral contact is possible? At least we know the Christ has this, and well, the Christ at the 6th initiation did contact the cosmic astral plane, had a cosmic astral impress of what nature, who knows, but probably of the nature of true love. And the Buddha at the same time had a cosmic mental contact, he being a third ray monad, and the Christ almost certainly, well, you know, it's inescapably the second ray monad. As the 12 creative hierarchies in their outer and creative aspect are contacted by the man, who is the perfect quaternary, from the standpoint of the form, the personality is fourfold. But another and higher quaternary appears as personality, soul, spiritual triad, and monad, another quaternary. So in the relation between the solar plexus and the heart is the second aspect perfected. And love wisdom flows into the astral body under the influence of Venus, Jupiter, and Neptune, the three planets that are active at the second initiation, overcoming, Pluto and Mars, and maybe lower Neptune. Okay. So is the relation, in the relation between the solar plexus and the heart is the second aspect perfected. The third aspect is related to the first initiation, the second aspect of the second. And the first aspect under the guise of the fifth ray, which eventually terminates in the first ray, is beginning its process of perfection at the third initiation. The love of the soul can express itself perfectly through the emotional body. And thus we see that so many overestimate themselves as the love of the soul certainly is not expressing through their emotional nature. Right. Okay, so solar plexus and the heart. These are relations that are consummated along the way and promoting the infusion of the personality by the soul and the general interplay of soul and personality. So, center of the base of the spine, thousand petal lotus, that's the, related to the third, fourth, and fifth initiations, sacral to the throat, the first initiation, solar plexus to the heart, the second initiation. Okay. Now, there's another relation, the relation between the two head centers, or between the center, between the eyebrows and the center above the head, and, you know, also go to, I think it's page, go to page 170 in A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. This relation is set up and stabilized when soul and body are a functioning unit and a high degree of integration is achieved. So if we were, you know, to go here to A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and we were to go to page 170 or thereabouts, we would see that there's a relationship being set up here between the two many-petaled lotuses, presumably the Ajna center and the center above the head, and also the seven centers within the head, as they're called, the seven head centers, are involved in this. So it's a rather high stage of development when there is a strong connection between the center above the head, the thousand petal lotus, and the Ajna center, which has the 96 petals. 960 is a very important number, and if we multiply that by 10, we're going to get 96 by 10, we'll get the 960, and it will be an important number in relation to the head center. Add 12 to it, and the 12 of the inner center, the heart and the head center, and we have the actual number of the petals in the highest head center, 972. All right, so let's see where we are here. So the relationship between the two head centers, and this occurs really at a high stage of spiritual SP development. Then, in reflection of this chakra interplay, we have the relation between the pineal gland and the pituitary. It's precipitated as a result of the above etheric concentrations, the highest head center and the ajna center. Of course, remember the alto major center has to get into the act in order to create the triangle with the dispelling radiance, which every true healer has, and which completed is indicative of the third initiation. So, pineal gland and the pituitary body. I guess he would also call it a gland. Elsewhere, it is called a gland. Then we go above the level of chakras, and we find a relation between the higher and lower mind involving steady and increasing soul contact. And if we were to look at this, higher mind here on the second and third subplanes, and the lower mind here in the fourth. Now, he's not talking yet about the abstract mind, which is the relation with which is begun and then completed via the Antahkarana. So this is involving a steady soul contact, and see first between the mental unit and the soul per se. So higher mind is found here, third and second, and abstract mind on the first. So it's the relationship first between the mental unit and the soul as a whole, penetrating towards the jewel in the lotus. I mean, all of these occult contacts can not only be approached academically as we are now, but have to be felt in meditation. And there are, of course, some people who do feel these things and detect the movements within them. So the relation between the higher and lower mind involving a steady and increased soul contact through meditation, right? The meditative attitude of the soul is duplicated in the three bodies or by the spiritual man, in this case, the soul in incarnation, or the projection of the soul energy and consciousness into the personality. And the steady meditation of the soul goes on also on its own plane. So both are meditating. Both factors are meditating. Each invokes the other and, in a way, evokes the other. The result of the invocation is an evocation or a response. It is with this and with its effects that we are primarily concerned in this rule. The mutual invocation and then evocation of by each of the other. So, which happens first? Well, maybe the soul on its own plane sees the readiness of the soul in incarnation, or that aspect of consciousness which is invested in the personality, and then sends forth the call, and then the response to that call is called from the higher perspective an evocation. But the way it works out is that the lower man or the soul in incarnation within the personality invokes the soul on its own plane, and then another evocation results. So it's really all about calling and answering. A later relationship, which in no way concerns us, is set up after the third initiation. He knows who he's writing this for, right? This book, unlike A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, is not written for initiates of the third degree or beyond. It's written for the more average disciple who is preparing for the first or second degree, and maybe somewhat beyond the second degree. A later relationship, which in no way concerns us, is set up after the third initiation between the soul and the monad. And throughout the course of cosmic evolution, these relationships will emerge. The personality and soul of the planetary logos, and the soul and monad of the planetary logos. The personality and soul of the solar logos, and the soul and monad of the solar logos, and on and on. So throughout the course of cosmic evolution, these kinds of relationships, these relationships will emerge. The race as a, the race as a whole is, however, only concerned with the setting up of a relation between soul and body, and beyond this, there is no need to go when instructing those who are perhaps readying themselves, even if they do not realize it, for the first initiation. I mean, we cannot go back too far. We can go towards the aspirant at the working at the end of the fifth petal, because from that point in the egoic lotus, that fifth, the working within that fifth petal, the latter part, there is a slow preparation for the first initiation, which is indicated when the fifth petal is completely unfolded, we are told. As the man seeks to reach control of the mind, the soul in its turn becomes more actively aggressive. After all, the what we call the soul, that type of consciousness extended from the monad, encapsulated in the higher mental plane, underlay by the angel of the presence, an aspect of the solar angel, that type of what can I call it? It's on the mental plane in any case. That type of presence is on the mental plane. Both of them are on the mental plane. The controlling point within the personality for the mentally focused person is on the mental plane, but in general, the personality is on the fourth subplane of the mental plane, the center which generates the personality. And the soul center, what we call soul anyway, as relates to the human being, is on the higher mental plane. The work of the solar angel has hitherto been largely in its own world, note that, and concerned with its relation to spirit, which is not yet perhaps perfected because there is a monadic aspect. The solar angels have their own monadic aspect, and they have to do, certain things to come en rapport with it. And with this, the man working through his cycles on the physical plane has no concern. The solar angel has hitherto been largely working in its own world and in relation to its own projects, concerned with its relation to spirit. There are within the planetary logos and within the seven great centers on the monadic plane, both human and deva monads. Now, of course, the solar angel will have passed the initiations which have to do with the cosmic physical plane, unless for some reason in the previous solar system for which five was the major number, one did not really ascend to the monadic plane. Yet we have no other indication that the men in that previous solar system who went on the path of solar angels, no other indication than that they went to Sirius to be trained. If they went to Sirius, they would have to find their way onto the cosmic astral plane, and if they were limited to the atmic plane, which is the fifth from below, and somehow had to exclude the monadic and logoic plane, they couldn't travel as monads to that distant center. Well, not so much is given about how they were trained to become solar angels, but we receive a great deal of information, well, not a great deal, but quite a bit of information about the training of the bulk of humanity which will become solar angels in this solar system, or following the solar system, or through a departure from this solar system and a duration on Sirius or in the Sirian system, who knows for how long a time. So we kind of generalize from the condition of training for modern man becoming a solar angel, generalize backwards towards the previous solar system. Yet its number is five. And that number being five and the number of our present solar system being seven might tell us something about the planes of attainment which were possible. The previous solar system being one in which intelligence was cultivated, and the atmic plane, the fifth from below, is a plane of intelligence. Third from above, fifth from below. The numbers are correct for intelligence. So I'm just going to say there's some things that, you know, we cannot know here. We can speculate a little, but cannot know. At least I cannot. Others will know. So when it says that the solar angel has been largely concerned with its relation to spirit, spirit is very extensive and can even be considered as a reaching to the cosmic astral plane and beyond. It's one of those protean words. It has a certain flexibility, malleability. It's not a word that can easily be pinpointed. Spirit can even mean being, and being, if something is, it is possessed of being as its very first identifier. Anyway, we're not concerned with the solar angel's work because this is a graduate human being, a member of the council within the sun. The solar petries, solar angels, are said to be members of the council within the sun, and this makes them focused, makes it possible for them to focus on an even higher level than the master of the wisdom, who under ordinary circumstances is not even a member of the council on our planet within Shambhala. So we have to keep things in proportion. So we don't have any concern about this, although DK has given hints. The main expenditure of energy by the soul has been general and outward going into the fifth kingdom. Well, that is the, what should we call it? It is called the Kingdom of Souls. But it has not been specific, perhaps, for his shadow man. We are told that the general second aspect of divinity looks after the progress of the man before he comes into the possibility of cultivation, individual cultivation in relation to the solar angel. So there are, you know, obviously he advances, but it's a general type of advancement without that individual culture which is caused by the down-looking, downward-turned solar angel. Now the solar angel approaches a time of crisis and of reorientation. This is the solar angel is not yet an avatar, because avatars have nothing to gain from the lower level to which they descend. It's a act of pure altruism. But solar angels still have something to gain, and it's part of their life curriculum. So we can speak of a crisis that occurs in the life of the solar angel, a crisis of reorientation. In the early history of humanity, there was a great crisis, which we call individualization, and this correlated with one of the early initiations of our planetary logos. Was it his first initiation? Maybe first cosmic, perhaps. Whoops, logos, and perhaps we can look it up. Perhaps the first cosmic initiation of the planetary logos. And we have not yet, interestingly, taken our second cosmic initiation. That's how I understand it, at least, although in a subsidiary series, we are taking a fourth in our solar system through our particular planetary chain. At that time, the solar angels, in response to a demand or pull from the race of animal men, and I suppose from the planetary logos as a whole, from the race of animal men as a whole, note that it was a center in the planet represented by the aggregation of animal men. And let's RPD. Would that be represented? No. But let's make it that way. RPD. Represent RP. Represented. All right. Sorry for the little deviations here. Represented. A center in the planet represented by the aggregation of animal men. So the solar angels responded as a whole. In the planet represented by, as an aggregation of animal men, sorry for the confusion here, by an aggregation of animal men. Why so long, huh? Sent a portion of their energy embodying the quality of mentalization to these animal men. A portion. Note, the solar angel. Whoop. Oh, I'm sorry for the delay. Just one of my little difficulties here. We always speak of the solar angel sends portions of energy, and not the wholeness of itself. Fortunately, for whatever form is receiving that which is sent. Well, this has been a little confusing. All right. So a center in the planet, yeah, right. At that time, the solar angels, in response to a demand or a pull from the race of animal men as a whole, note that Well, must I even go back here? I guess I must. So I say, animal men as a whole. And let's see. Right, and here it is. Animal men as a whole, note that, sent a portion of their energy embodying the quality of mentalization to these animal men as a whole. Note that. All right, finally. Thanks for bearing with me. Sent a portion of their energy embodying the quality of mentalization to these animal men, and maybe also the quality of self-reflection. Due not to awaken immediately, due to awaken maybe 3,000 years from the time it was sent. We're told it was sent in Sagittarius, and the awakening occurred later under a Leo influence. They fecundated, if I might so express it. Doesn't it feel good to move on? I'm so sorry to spend 3 or so minutes just fooling around with words. They fecundated, if I might so express it, the brain. Thus was humanity brought into being. And let's just say, all right, not quite done being obtuse. So this indicates that the solar angels did indeed implant a portion of their energy in the brain, but also in the area of the mental unit on the fourth subplane of the mental plane. Thus was humanity brought into being. So, you know, humanity is not just about the outer body. Being human is about a state of consciousness in advance of that of animal man. The germ, however, carried within it two other potentialities. Okay. That of spiritual love and spiritual life. This is a very important statement. So another fecundation was not necessary, just the coming of the time when these other germs could grow. So this is very important. And later, these two other germs could be cultivated. During different root races. Yeah, and here I'm going to do that again, if you don't mind. RRS, and I'll make a plural, root races. So, you know, in the Atlantean period, the love germ could be cultivated. And in the Aryan race, the mental germ could be cultivated. These must, in due time, make their appearance. The flowering forth of the mind in men, which so distinguishes the present age, indicates to the solar angel a second crisis, of which the first was but the symbol. And maybe this is the perhaps the crisis of the great mental monastic, he calls it, the great monastic initiations. That for which the solar angel exists is making its presence felt within humanity, and another strong pull is being exerted upon which the solar angel, which this time, see, upon the solar angel, which this time will produce a second fecundation. Okay, another pull, and you know, this will require this second crisis opportunity, as crisis is opportunity, will require direct supervision of the lower man by the solar angel of the presence. This will give to man those qualities which will enable him to transcend human limitations and become part of the fifth or spiritual kingdom in nature. And, you know, this is done through the process of initiation. So, you know, it's not just the masters of the wisdom that train their up-and-coming disciples for initiation, but that great host of solar angels, which in their essential nature must be even higher than a master, because, you know, the master has not been to Sirius or to any of those constellations in the one about whom naught may be said, which are the destination of those who leave the cosmic physical plane, even if temporarily. And the solar angels, those who are now solar angels, have indeed done this. The first effort of the solar angel turned animal men into human beings. The second will turn human beings into spiritual entities, plus the gains of the experience of the in the human family. So what we have here is a realization. We have a realization that the solar angels are involved in helping man pass through the human kingdom and for a certain through the kingdom of souls. You stay in the fifth kingdom until you are a master, and when you become a Chohan, you're a planetary life, but the solar angels are allowed to return to the sun, to the heart of the sun, and maybe some to the central spiritual sun at the time of the fourth initiation, and man is still man. So they don't go all the way through supervising the human being, but that the monad can, working through the spiritual triad, can take over. So this is such an important sentence. The first effort of the solar angel turned animal men into human beings. The second will, and it's already happened for some and is happening increasingly with the taking of the first initiation by a certain proportion of humanity, will turn human beings into spiritual entities plus the gains of experience in the human family. Helping, so I'm going to put here animal man, helping animal man pass through the human kingdom, pass into the human kingdom, and as man pass through the human kingdom, and to a certain extent through the kingdom of souls. For this, the solar angel, the soul, now there is a statement in apposition which cannot be denied. You know, let me make it really big. Friend of mine, Zach Reimel, makes wonderful compilations, and he makes bigger certain statements which he deems of greater importance. I think, you know, it's probably a pretty good idea. For this, the solar angel, the soul, is organizing itself. So in this case, the word soul definitely means solar angel, or that part of it which is invested in the egoic lotus, the angel of the presence. For this, the solar angel, the soul, is organizing itself and reorienting itself so that its power can be directed into the world of men. So, you know, we're talking about here, we are also talking about turning points, crises, and turning points in the life of the solar angel, Well, you know, we can think of the solar angel investing its portion of its nature in the egoic lotus, and when that portion prepares to introduce the man to the monad, it becomes the angel of the presence, and who knows how much the solar angel on its own plane helps in that process. But let's just say, and I want to say it now so I don't forget it, the solar angel does not return to the solar logos slash sun until the soul in incarnation, the disciple, is introduced to the monad. I guess that is true. We are the monad, even as a personality, we are the monad, as a type of consciousness on the higher mental plane, we are the monad, as the triad, we are the monad, and as the monad, we are the monad. But the lower aspect of our nature is somewhat behind in its program, and the higher agency of these solar beings, the solar angels, represented within our causal body, egoic lotus, plays a role, I'm sure, and a role I don't understand, but a role in introducing that extension of the monad, which is way down in the personality, call it the soul in incarnation, introducing the soul in incarnation to the monad at the third initiation. And when I say introducing, you know, who knows what kind of process we're talking about here, but making it more possible for that contact between monad and soul-infusing personality to occur. Contact must be made by the soul between the lower aspect of its triple nature and the aspect which has already found lodgment in the brain of man. Amazing stuff here. And I'm just realizing, you know, so far when it comes to descriptions of the white magical process with the magician as the creator, Cosmic Fire has a lot to say, and on that I have already written rather than offered video commentary. So you can find that on the Makara website, or if this is listened to in years in the future, who knows whether that website will exist, but hopefully somewhere these commentaries will be preserved. Contact must be made by the soul between the lower aspect of its triple nature and the aspect which has already found lodgment in the brain. Well, what is the lower aspect of its triple nature? Is it the knowledge petals? So I'm just going to kind of ask that. Are we speaking of the knowledge petals? Well, that would be a good way to do it. And KKPTLS, knowledge petals. Okay. And I'm going to obviously have to introduce another one. KTPTL, knowledge petal. And separate. PTL. Okay. So are we speaking of the knowledge petals? Intelligent activity and love wisdom must be united. And the union, and of course love wisdom comes from the soul really comes from the monad, comes from, what is the source, must be united. And even the knowledge aspect of the soul is suffused with love wisdom simply because the causal body, egoic lotus, soul consciousness is suffused with love wisdom. Intelligent activity and love wisdom must be united, and the union must take place on the physical plane. So, into the brain of man, this and of course, we have to say necessarily the etheric brain will be involved if the energy reaches the physical brain. So intelligent activity and love wisdom must be united, and the union must take place on the physical plane. In order to do this, the soul is entering into meditation deep, in union with all other souls who may have brought their instrument into a responsive state. So, what do we have here? It's a group, a group of downward gazing souls or solar angels. And when I say solar angels, we keep in mind that the entirety of the solar angel cannot really enter the vehicle on the higher mental plane. I think it would destroy that vehicle, but a portion, always a portion. And the mantram is, having pervaded the entire universe, whatever that universe may be, having pervaded the entire universe with a portion of my fragment of myself, I remain. I remain on the higher plane, and I've sent in a stream of energy into this tiny or greater universe, which is a complete whole, in order to animate that whole in a new way. And the word animate is interesting because it really means soul, anima, soul. This is the basic group meditation. And when a man achieves what the Oriental books call samadhi, he has succeeded in participating as a soul in this group meditation. So let us say that apparently samadhi can be achieved after the third initiation, but would change in character once the solar angel departs. So this tells us something about those who are achieving samadhi. But of course, there are, in the East, grades of samadhi, and there's also the samadhi of a fourth degree initiate, I suppose, and of a fifth and sixth and seventh and so on. It's progressive. So samadhi. Okay. Which is the, goal of contemplation, and enters upon that cycle of service which expresses itself through the planetary hierarchy, the members of the planetary hierarchy are at will capable of samadhi. The rational mind and the abstract mind function as a unit. The Antikarana has made that possible, and the motivating principle is love. Coming from soul in soul infusion, but also from the spiritual triad, which is the higher correspondence, in one sense anyway, to the soul on its own plane. Does the spiritual triad belong to the soul? Well, its rays are our soul are the rays that the soul uses, the soul on the higher mental plane. Does it spiritual triad belong to the monad? Yes, it's an expression also of the first ray. So the spiritual triad is an intermediate center characterized by the second ray because it is the true ego, and also by the first ray because it is a projection of the monad. The soul expressing love and abstract intelligence is at one with its expression on the physical plane. And it must have absorbed some triadal energy if it's expressing abstract intelligence. It certainly could express higher intelligence. Is at one with its expression on the physical plane through the brain. And when this is the case, the lower man has synchronized his meditation with the soul, and this requires the third initiation, minimally, for this group. Synchronization to occur. So he's really giving us some very important information here, definitely. And let's call this here the end of A Treatise on White Magic webinar commentary, or video commentary number 20, and rule 2.4, we seem to still be, yes, we are, and maybe my next commentary will be quite small, because I'm trying to keep the commentaries related to the rules themselves. And this day is the 30th of January, 18. And, okay. And we'll be beginning here with number 21. So, beginning of A Treatise on White Magic, video commentary number 21, 2.5. And whenever we might do it. Oh, now I'm faced with the page issue. Well, where did it begin? Goodness, 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 I know. I'll try to look over here. So sorry about that. I'm always losing my place. This is page 89. And, page 89, and I think we only began, is that possible, on page 87? I think so. But we didn't cover too much there. And we'll begin here on page 89. It's almost as if there's a mistake. But there's page 89, all right. And here we began on page 87 to 89. All right, everybody, thank you for attending this, thinking through with me. Obviously, there's much that I'm missing, of course, given my own present state of ignorance, which is all I can work from, all any of us can work from, really. And we will go on with number 21 and finish off rule 2. And it'll be 2.5. All right. See you before long. And thank you for your presence. See you soon.